And now coming to you nearly live from the catacombs deep beneath Virginia City, Nevada, it's the Storyteller Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Toll, and I'm coming to you today, recording on the 21st of May, 2017. And had a chance to earlier today to celebrate the life of Dave Greninger. Dave passed earlier this month, succumbing to cancer, and his bride, Breck, had a really wonderful celebration of Dave's life at their house in the Highlands. So it was really a delight to attend, and had a chance to record a conversation with Sheriff Gerald Antonoro earlier in the week on Tuesday. Had some technical difficulties and some other challenges that prevented me from releasing that interview until today. Those of you who are regulars to the storyteller.online and read the articles that I post there have noticed that in the last, 3 weeks, that I've been pretty quiet. I've posted some articles from a libertarian site called the Foundation for Economic Education, but I've been pretty quiet, and there's a couple of reasons for that. First and foremost, my daughter Mariel delivered her son Ezra Wilder into the world on May 5th, and because I'm the sole source of support for her and the little guy, I've been pretty busy doing some 24/7 attention to both mother and son. She did deliver the child at home, and it was a pretty rigorous effort, and so she's just now getting on her feet and around, and so I've been, doing the thing that, you know, waking up at 2 in the morning and making sure she's got something to eat or helping the little baby, get walked around. You may hear him in the background because he's in the other room there. But anyway, you know, that's one of the reasons that I haven't been producing as much work as y'all are used to. There is, however, another reason that is a mitigating factor in the quantity and quality of stories that you've come accustomed to. And that is that over the course of my operating this adventure, I rely on the public records requests from Story County to provide me with information that I need to, do my investigative research. And so far, I've, for whatever reason, the information has not been forthcoming. A lot of the information that I'm seeking is detailed. It's not available on any of the sites that the county provides, and the information takes a while to accumulate. Additionally, of course, the county's just gone through their budget cycle, and that's a priority for everybody that's out there in the county's employ to make sure that budget is properly vetted and approved. But I must say it is getting kind of frustrating because I have, four open requests, and the oldest one is about 2.5 months old. I'm looking for information that, again, is, fairly detailed, but the NRS statute gives 5 days for the completion of a public records request. Austin Osborne has been my contact point, and to his credit, he's been responsive in the sense that he's letting me know that they're experiencing delays and that they're having challenges with the request that I'm making. But nonetheless, without the information, I can't do the stories. So that's really one of the primary reasons that I'm not able to produce the investigative reporting that y'all have become used to. So without any further ado, I'd like to go ahead and play the conversation that the sheriff and I had earlier this week. And I look forward to producing another podcast here in the near future. And now, Sheriff. Here once again with Sheriff Gerald Antonoro, and we'd like to give the community a little update on what's happening with Story County Sheriff's Department. Jerry, how are you today?
Doing well, thanks.
So, the recall election is firmly in the rearview mirror and looks like it's business as usual at the Story County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, pretty much. The people spoke and they felt that it was worthwhile to keep me in place, and I'm forever thankful over that. Since then, we've just been working on the budget. Today was the final budget approval for the county. And, of course, we didn't get everything we wanted, never do, but we got enough to keep us rolling for another year and keep providing service to people, hopefully make some improvements as we go into the next year.
So I missed that meeting. Did you get any extra money for some patrol vehicles?
Well, we submitted initially for 9 vehicles because we have some that are really getting up there on miles and whatnot. We struck up an agreement during the process. We're actually only getting 4 of the 9 that we need, but hey, that's 4 deputies that won't be walking.
And as far as deputies go, are there funds available to add new bodies to the staff?
We'll be adding 1 more patrol deputy, which helps. Still keeps us 2 positions short of where I would like to be, but we'll have 1 more deputy added to the patrol staff and 1 more officer added to the detention staff.
Excellent. The Storyteller Online has been tabulating the results, or the demographics of the calls that are made in the different regions of Story County, and clearly TRIC has a pretty serious impact on the bandwidth of the Story County Sheriff's Office. I know that Google is just positioned themselves for some property out there, but their growth is probably a year or so away. Is there any opportunities to receive extra funding out there from any of the companies to help bolster your staff, or is it pretty much we're relying on the general fund?
Hard to say as far as what the future brings. Right now, Tesla does support 2 of our positions. So, you know, Tesla's been a great partner for us with the Sheriff's Office, their security staff out there. Switch has been a great partner for us. You know, all of the businesses out there we've had great rapport with. And yesterday I actually met with one of the representatives of Google, just doing some initial groundwork and seeing what resources are available. So I don't know what they have planned. Who knows what the future holds with them? It may be right away. It may not be years before they actually develop their properties. But so far, all our partners out there in the park have been really good. You know, as far as the bandwidth that you mentioned, the park does take up a good chunk of our resources. A lot of it's traffic related. We were talking before offline, before we started the interview, where Highway Patrol had recently reached out to us just asking for statistics, and we got to looking, and since January of 2015, we've responded to 128 motor vehicle crashes on USA Parkway alone. So, you know, that's a lot of crashes for us, that stretch of highway. But there's, you know, you figure 25,000 cars a day or better traveling up and down that road, and, you know, it becomes a small percentage of the motoring public, but that's a big percentage of our resources that go to that.
Right, and obviously, you know, once USA Parkway is online, NHP is going to be out there patrolling and sort of, you know, helping to shoulder some of that burden. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's why they had reached out to us as far as our statistical data on crashes, so they can know how to allocate their resources. They'll be patrolling a lot on USA Parkway, undoubtedly, you know, and so that will help with some of the burden out there, you know, but that still leaves us all of the additional roads that are out there. And of course, a lot of times when we do have a motor vehicle crash, of those 128 that I had mentioned, I think the Sheriff's Office handled about 28 of those and Highway Patrol did the rest, but we're still out there and we're still the first responders. We're normally there much quicker than Highway Patrol. And, you know, we wind up getting roped into helping with traffic control because of that volume of traffic still has to move. So, and it's a joint effort amongst all of us.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting to watch the different departments and how the teamwork really is an integral part of law enforcement and how you guys work together. As far as the budget is concerned, there was some information that I read where the concern about the hours being worked and the split staffs and folks, not necessarily, I guess the concern was whether or not the full 24-hour coverage was necessary or not in all parts of the county. It seems to me that that would be, as a single deputy would be a bare minimum, but there was some talk about how that, wasn't necessarily as important as keeping a cap on the budget numbers and the payroll data. What's your take on that, or what's your position?
You know, it's always a balancing act to, make sure we're not overindulging in tax dollars. But there's also the need to be able to provide a minimum level of service, and at the same time, keeping my staff safe, or feelings of safety. A study just came out from the FBI. And with all of the things that we've seen in the media the last couple of years, and the attacks on law enforcement, and the political backlash against law enforcement, it's resulting in a depolicing of America. Cops don't want to take any action. They're worried they're going to get sued. They're worried that if they do something incorrect, that there's all kinds of ramifications, and it's really demoralizing law enforcement all across the country. And we may not have a lot of those situations or circumstances here in Story County, but it still has an effect on my staff because they see this stuff happening and they worry that it could happen to them. So, the trying to balance the tax dollars versus the providing service to our community versus, keeping my deputies with some semblance of safety, that's where the mix is at. That's where the problem comes in. You have people who are more, their focus is more on the money versus the service or the safety. Well, mine is on the safety and the service. With I'm cognizant of the money, but in my conversations with people throughout the county, they're willing to spend that little extra money to make sure that we have service and the safety.
And to sort of echo on that a little bit, I spoke had the pleasure of speaking with one of your deputies at the Easter event that we had out in Lockwood, and we were talking about how if something serious should happen where it's at the evening hours and something should go down and he should find himself in an awkward position. His statement was, "Gee, I sure hope that Sparks PD is parked there on Vista and can get here quickly enough to be meaningful backup to me, because otherwise I'm the Lone Ranger out here." And so that balance of of budget and security and safety and appropriate coverage is obviously what makes you and your position a good manager and a leader in your office.
Well, and that's what it's all about. It's trying to balance those things, and as the sheriff, that's my responsibility, not necessarily the responsibility of the people that are keeping the books, or even the commissioners who are responsible primarily for the monies that come in. That's why we have a sheriff, to make those decisions of and balance those three different dimensions of it. And with the what the deputy told you, that's a very real concern that they've had. And it's if one of our neighboring agencies is not readily available, they are the Maytag repairman out there all by themselves. And I understand that, having been there myself, both here in Story County and in other places that I've worked. It's a pretty empty feeling knowing that you're the only one out there and there is nobody else coming, or wondering if anybody will be there. and with the things that are going on at the park now, you know, that it's going to become even more important that we have some type of a backup. To date, so far, we've dealt with businesses, warehouse distribution centers, things like that. You know, pretty much some of them work 24-hour shifts. But these are people going to work and going home at the end of their shift for the most part. Now with the permitting of some, well, I won't say it's not residential, but we've got some hotels that are looking to come in out there. And I'm sure there's going to be food. There's a good possibility that they'll have alcohol available and a bar type of a situation. Entirely possible that there could be gaming involved in some of those, you know. So that's going to change a lot of the dynamic, because we won't necessarily have people leaving and going back to Reno, Sparks, or Fernley, wherever they may have come from. They're going to be staying right there. They're going to be drinking, you know, recreating in the park, even if it is in a motel situation. We get called to the motels in Virginia City on fairly regular occurrences, you know, because of domestic disputes or some other type of a situation where people are recreating, whether that's, you know, dinner or drinks or whatever the case may be. So it's going to change the dynamic out there in the park, but I think my folks are up for the challenge.
Well, it's clear that you know in your ranks the deputies there are professionals and they take their job seriously. I'd like to segue just for a minute. I know that you just spoke of alcohol, and I've spoken with many people in law enforcement and asked them if they, you know, which scenario they would rather see themselves involved with, having to come into a domestic dispute where folks are known to be under the influence of alcohol, and then comparing that or contrasting that with folks being under the influence of cannabis. Nevada, as you know, in November passed recreational legalization of cannabis and marijuana. What impact do you see that having in your office with your frontline guys and your daily situation?
You know, there's a lot of debate over the legalization of marijuana, good thing, bad thing, whatever. You know, I'm not in a position to make the laws, just enforce the laws. So, you know, a personal opinion of it, you know, six of one, half a dozen of another. There are the effects of marijuana versus the effects of alcohol, they're not dissimilar. But anytime you have impaired judgment, regardless of the substance, you know, that just exacerbates the situation, whether it's, you know, driving under the influence, whether it's a domestic disturbance, anything that you have. When you have some type of substance involved that's impairing judgment, you always have a problem.
So, you know, many of the folks in the Libertarian Party, of which I am one, suggest that by taking steps like this, that law enforcement has an opportunity to focus on, you know, what we would consider to be, you know, actual crime, real crime, violence, the crimes on property, and those sorts of things that require some heavy lifting, and that by not having to pay attention to marijuana as diligently as we have, as law enforcement has in the past, that will free up some bandwidth to go other places. Is that wishful thinking on our part, or is that, do you think that's something that actually is real inside your department?
You know, having been in law enforcement for over 30 years now, I would say that probably is more wishful thinking than anything else, just because the shift in what you see. You don't, it's not that often that you see, you know, prior to the legalization, it wasn't that often that you see people running around with a baggie of weed in their pocket. They would have a baggie or a vial of meth or cocaine or something. You know, marijuana, you know, kind of got out there and was pretty unique. You know, it wasn't the common everyday thing that we used to find 20, 30 years ago. You know, this will bring it back. Maybe that'll help slow down some of the other illicit substances that aren't as user friendly, I guess, for lack of a better term. You know, but you know, my concern is not the substance, but the action. You know, I, like I said, I'm not the one who makes the laws. I just enforce the laws. And you know, if marijuana is legal, then it's legal and I don't have to spend any time thinking about it. My concern then shifts to, you know, impaired drivers or how that impairs somebody's thinking to do other things. You know, not a big fan of the idea of it's a gateway drug, that if you smoke a joint you're going to end up being a heroin junkie and dying in the alley. You know, I don't want to slide down that slippery slope, but you know, my concern is that you know, if you're out high driving a vehicle, in my opinion, that's no different than if you're stone cold drunk out driving a vehicle. If you're impaired and you're posing a danger to the public, then I have a concern.
You know, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that you and I both share the notion that, you know, public safety, you know, the biggest threat to public safety that exists is an impaired driver. If you look at the number of fatalities, you know, it's not, there's 260 million guns that didn't kill anybody yesterday, but a lot of folks die in car crashes every day in our nation's highways due to impaired drivers. And so I tend to agree with you that you know, the more accessible and the more freely folks use that substance, cannabis or marijuana, that the more often they're going to get behind the wheel. And you know, marijuana is much more, you know, when you're stone cold drunk, you pretty much know you're making a big mistake when you get behind the wheel, or at least you should. You know, marijuana is a little more subtle that way, and folks may not think that they're as impaired as they are, is that they are as a danger to the public, the driving public, as they are. So I share those concerns with you. I have to tell you, I was enjoyed having company with your officers and the We Care folks at the Mother's Day pancake event that you all had in Lockwood this past Sunday. I had a chance to talk to Officer Mendoza about his approach, and kind of, you know, we just had a 20-minute conversation with Jay Carmona of the Highlands and Officer Mendoza, and it was really interesting to listen to his approach to enforcement and to the way that he interacts with the community. It really impressed me that he takes a very personal you know, approach. He takes sort of ownership of the community out there, and as you had mentioned, the senior community, and that speaks to the community-based policing that I think your office is very keen on, and again, is something that we could use more of across the country. What steps do you take as a leader to, you know, sort of cultivate that feeling amongst your deputies? Is that something you proactively do, or is that how does that work? What's your perception there?
Well, it's definitely the case, and you bring up an excellent example. Deputy Mendoza is great when it comes to community policing, and I've got several others that are great at it too. And yeah, I spend a lot of time trying to push that concept, because the more that we can interact with the community, the friendlier terms that we can be on with the community, you know, the more that the community is going to trust us and speak with us when they have problems. And my idea is, if we can prevent a problem from happening, then that's one less person we've got to put in jail, if we can intercede early on to prevent anything from getting to that point. You know, the seniors specifically are a tender spot, and Deputy Mendoza's history, and perhaps someday you can take a few minutes and talk to him, hear the story as to why that is. But he's been a great asset to the sheriff's office countywide and dealing with the seniors. We've got other folks who their focus tends more towards the youth. One of my deputies, Harry Schroeder, who lives here in the county, he's got a great interest in the kids. We're working him into the DARE position. He's been spending a lot of time at the schools, and hopefully, you know, he's going to really reach out to the youth of the community, because it's really a cradle to the grave mentality. You know, unfortunately, I was out this past weekend with a dear friend of mine, and they're with his family and with him at the time of his passing. But not only because they're personal friends, but because they're people in our county, and if there's something that we can do to help in their time of need, you know, then we're going to do that. You know, not only because we have a legal obligation to be there, but because we have a caring obligation to be there. You know, where if all cops would embrace that type of a mentality, I think we would be better off all across this country, and we wouldn't have a lot of the problems that you see that crop up in the media. You know, we need to start doing what we can early on to develop those relationships with our youth and maintain those relationships throughout the course of a lifetime, really. It's not a special unit or a special function that goes in and spends their days, hours, whatever time doing this. You know, this is a full-time commitment, like I said, from the cradle to the grave. Every step of the way, we should be there, not only as an enforcer, but as a friend, as a confidant, as somebody who's there to help you, not just throw you in jail.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that perspective, because as a kid growing up here, you know, Officer Mendoza shared with me that he was the last deputy currently on staff that was hired by Del Carlo. And I remember being a kid, you know, really in essence having a relationship of animosity and antagonism with the Story County Sheriff's Office. There was, a perception that folks needed to go to jail if they didn't conform or fit a certain mold. And I think that the leadership that you've been able to employ is clearly represented by the people, you know, by your deputies on the street and how they interact with the community. And what that does is that creates a relationship between the office and the people on the street. They know that they can trust this person. You know, I read a study once where, you know, kids won't accept discipline from their parents if they can't trust them, if they think they're going to be unreasonable. And I think that there's a parallel that could be drawn between the community at large and the sheriff's office with respect to how they're treated and what sort of attitude is projected by the police, the police or the sheriff's office. So I think that you're to be congratulated for that. And obviously with the results of this most recent recall election, I think that you sort of has been reinforced by the community. I think the community stood up and stood beside you, behind you, and with you, suggesting that the brand of policing that you employ is one that we really appreciate. So, I think you're doing a great job, and the community does as well. Anything else in closing before we wrap this up that you'd like to share with the public here?
Well, we're just going to keep on doing what we do and try to improve processes along the way and try to continue developing and maintaining those relationships that we've already built. And hopefully, we'll keep doing this for a number of years to come.
Excellent. Well, listen, great talking to you. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure.
Boom. This podcast is a production of Battleborn Digital Media and Marketing. Copyright 2017.